Invisible by Winter Hill, read by Tiny Pink Mouse. And where do you go, Sheriff Ali? Asked Faisal as Lawrence hurried through the town hall, trying to make his way out and to the roof. He'd seen himself in the mirror in the great reception room. He'd pulled back his clothing and pinched his skin, and known this was real. There was pain, yes. But there was always pain. No pink bloom under his fingers, just firm, warm skin that did not belong to him. Outside, said Lawrence. I need to go outside. Faisal looked through him like he was made of glass. I see, he said, steepling his fingers. You would do well to make amends to the djinn you have wronged, would you not? It is not permanent, said Lawrence. That had been part of the deal, the curse, this thing that had been wrought upon him, this stupid, selfish magic. It is only for a night. Then, perhaps, you should use it to your advantage. The djinn could have fixed the waterworks, could have helped the people, could have solved so many problems, could have done anything more than this. There is no advantage, said Lawrence. I didn't want this. Faisal laughed, a rich, quiet sound. You did, he replied. But you did not think that you would get it, no. I didn't want it, Lawrence repeated, before he fled. He did not know how long he had been on the balcony, when he heard familiar footfalls come to join him. The tiled floor was warm beneath his feet, nothing like the heat of sand, but comforting all the same. The wind blowing in, smelling of sand and the vast emptiness of Arabia. They say that if you speak loudly enough in the desert, a djinn might give you what you ask for, said Ali, his accent unnaturally clipped, his voice pulled tight over the words like the skin of a drum. And perhaps what you think you want, but do not need. I do not know what I want, said Lawrence, looking at his fingers where they gripped the balustrade. His fingers? No, not his. Something that he was not permitted to have. He looked out over the city instead, failure ringing through every fibre of his being. Damascus was warmer than the desert at night. The air didn't get drawn away by the dunes and the stars. If they'd trekked across cities, there would have been no success. No good came from cities. This body aches, said Ali, standing beside him. You did not tell me that it still hurt. You would have been able to do nothing for it, said Lawrence. The night wrapping about them both. Some wounds do not heal. My friend, said Ali, I would have borne it for you if I could. And if we can stay like this, asked Lawrence, would you? Yes, said Ali, his blue eyes shining. Yes, I would. I would go to England and learn politics and fight for my people from your side. And when you were sick of it, I would return, said Ali, putting a hand to Lawrence's cheek. I would come back to Damascus and become the man who can only be shot with a golden bullet. Lawrence laughed a little, pressing his face against Ali's pale fingers. I would not have you shot. Yes, said Ali, and I will not let anyone shoot you. Lawrence looked up at Ali, the moon affording enough light to see his faintly parted lips, his deep eyes, and Lawrence wondered how it was that Ali wore his skin so much better than Lawrence ever had. This will not last past morning, said Lawrence, pulling away. Then come downstairs tonight, Ali replied. Faisal knows, said Lawrence, and order. I fear that anyone who sees me, sees us, will know that inside I am still this pallid, quivering creature. Your commanders will not know, said Ali. That's because they are idiots, said Lawrence. And to them, one Arab is as another. And you are, to them, one Arab, said Ali. The eyes give me away, said Lawrence. I once played poker with a man who said he needed no other tells but the eyes, that the soul speaks too loudly through them, he swallowed. Would that my soul were yours. You have a strong soul, said Ali, moving closer. So close he crowded into Lawrence's space. Not strong enough. A shout from the street below, and the wind caught their garments, tugging like the hands of the demon that had wrought this change. I will go back to England within the week. I know, said Ali. You know? Asked Lawrence, unexpectedly hurt. But you would not change my mind. Ali was, for once, the taller of the two of them. Lawrence had to look up at him to see his expression. Orange, Ali said, this body aches. It aches with more than just old wounds. I would not cage you. I would not call you to my wrist like a falcon. But I will not come with you this time. The desert does not care for human endeavour, love, art, religion, politics. Then the desert is very wise, said Lawrence. But these things have a place in the world of men, said Ali. And as men move further into the desert, it is tamed. And if I and my people are not ready for that, then we will lose ourselves to civilization. I abhor civilization, said Lawrence. Yet you will go back there. I deserve to. And if you could keep my face, Ali asked, sliding a hand over Lawrence's, where his fingers held the railing like a lifeline, what then? They would see through my disguise, said Lawrence. They wouldn't even need to strip me. Orange, said Ali, pulling his solid grip free. My Orange. They didn't talk about physical comfort. It had grown between them slowly over time. This body, Ali's body, like the touch of hands against his forearms, like being drawn close. Lawrence had let Ali comfort him at first because it seemed to be what Ali desired, and he'd had no idea how much a body could need the touch of another's until now. His own body didn't feel like so much of a betrayal when it held Ali's, even less so when he, dressed in Ali's skin, in his bones, in his back that didn't hurt but his feet which did, allowed himself to be drawn into an embrace. Ali's comfort was usually rough, but in Lawrence's body he was gentler, giving free rein to the kindness that he kept so tightly leashed. This was what would break him for good. Ali had patched him back together so many times now, that perhaps all that was left was patches. He had thought that if he could change his skin, he could change himself. The djinn had spoken of reward. But this was like everything he'd found in the desert, beautiful from a distance only. No, that wasn't quite true. He'd found Ali in the desert. Slowly, he returned Ali's embrace, closed his eyes, felt the press of a cheek against his forehead. Things will be different in the morning, said Ali. I know this. Will you hate me when I leave you? Asked Lawrence. No, said Ali. I will fear you and what you may do, but I will not hate you, he sighed. I thank God that he gave us this night. It is not God who gives us something we cannot keep, said Lawrence. My friend, said Ali, it is God who gives us everything. It is up to us to keep it. He woke before dawn, coming back to himself and knowing he was encased in pale flesh again, with every breath in, every familiar ache. They'd given him a proper bed. It felt strange after the shared warmth of Ali's bedroll, or the relief of the hard ground against his complaining bones. Beside him, Ali exhaled. "I am sorry," he said, pressing a hand to Lawrence's bare shoulder, just briefly. "Perhaps it is better this way." "Perhaps," said Lawrence, as Ali kissed where his hand had been. "I do not hate you," said Ali. "I know," said Lawrence. "I forgive you for it. Will you forgive me?" "There is nothing to forgive," said Ali, his skin warm where they touched. "Believe that, even if you hold on to nothing else." Later, Lawrence wondered if Ali would still forgive him. It didn't matter, he supposed. Rocks blinked against the bottom of the car as they drove away from Damascus, and somewhere on the wind, he thought he heard a great voice singing a farewell hymn. "What is it, sir?" asked the driver, as he stood slightly in his seat. "Nothing," said Lawrence. "Well, it's the desert, innit? Bloody big load of nothing, if you ask me." "I didn't," said Lawrence. "I think..." He breathed in the dust. "I think that once there is enough of nothing, it becomes something."
"That doesn't make sense, sir."
"Precisely," said Lawrence. He looked at his hand, pale fingers with stubby, dirty nails. "And back to England."
"Blessed England," said the driver, happily.
He looked over at Lawrence and then back again. "England," Lawrence echoed. "There are no deserts in England. No deserts, no Bedou, no jinns, no swords, no camels, no bright hot sun, no sand or spice or air." He longed for it in the same breath as he couldn't bear to think of it. The driver patted his shoulder. "That's it, sir. No Ali, no Faisal, no Arda, no men to fight with or men to lead. No one close enough to get inside his skin. It was better, perhaps. Perhaps."
"Back up, sir," said the driver,
as Lawrence closed his eyes and wished. Nothing answered, but the driver continued.
"You're one of the lucky ones. It's time for you to go home."